Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chapa Baja, and boy, do we have a good one tonight. I am going to go over Game 5 of the NBA Finals, which was yesterday. Man, that was a hell of a game. It ended 123 to 119. It came down to the wire. It was an incredible game, incredible performances, just one for the books. It's one in NBA history that will go down as possibly the defining game for the Milwaukee Bucks or the turning point for the Phoenix Suns. So the game ended 123 to 119. The Milwaukee Bucks get a win on the road in Phoenix. It is the Bucks are the first team in the finals here between the Suns and the Bucks. They're the first team to get a win on the road. So far, the home teams had won every single game, but the Bucks finally changed the narrative on that. Just an incredible game, like I said. Great performances, but at the end of the day, really, this was the Jrue Holiday game. You know, he was just super clutch. And then it was Giannis who put the icing on the cake. But Chris Middleton as well. I mean, it was actually, scratch that. This was not the Jrue Holiday game. This was the Milwaukee Bucks Big Three game. All three of them showed up. All three of them balled out. And all three of them got the Bucks the win. So first off, let me just go over the key stats here. So like I said, the Bucks won 123 to 119. Giannis ended with 32 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 14 of 23 from the field. Chris Middleton with 29 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 12 of 23 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. Jrue Holiday with 27 points, 4 rebounds, 13 assists, 12 of 20 from the field. He made 3 three-pointers, 3 steals, 1 block, and Pat Connaughton, who has continued his energy off the bench, ended with 14 points and 6 rebounds, shooting 4 for 6 from 3. Those were all his shots, so he was also 4 for 6 from the field. Now, the Suns, Devin Booker led the way for them again. He ended with 40 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He shot 17 of 33 from the field. He made 2 three-pointers out of 4 attempted. Chris Paul ended with 21 points, 2 rebounds, 11 assists. He shot much better this game, shot 9 of 15 from the field, 3 for 3 from three-point land. DeAndre Ayton with 20 points, 10 rebounds, shot 7 to 12 from the field, and Mikal Bridges with 13 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. He was 3 for 3 from 3-point land and 5 of 6 from the field. So yeah, this was an incredible game. It started off really wonky for the Bucks. This really looked like it was going to be the Suns game. I mean, it looked like there was going to be no doubt about it in the first quarter. The first quarter ended. The Suns were leading by 16 points, 37 to 21. It looked like everything was going their way. The Bucks, they were just awful to start out the game. They were missing shots, not getting rebounds, committing turnovers. They just looked bad. Hence the 37 to 21 ending, in the first quarter. But, so yeah, I mean, the Suns looked like everything was going their way. Everyone was kind of hitting shots in the first quarter. Chris Paul looked pretty good, pretty limber. Devin Booker, he just carried over his performance from game 4, where he ended with 42 points. It looked like he just carried that over onto game 5 into the first quarter. He was hitting shots. Jay Crowder continues his three-pointers. Mikal Bridges, excuse me. So yeah, they just looked really good. Also, something that looked like it was going to be possibly the game changer for the Suns was that they got Jrue Holiday into early foul trouble in the first quarter. The first quarter, Mike Budenholzer had to take out Jrue Holiday because Jrue got two early fouls. I believe it was with about 9 minutes left in the quarter still. So Mike Budenholzer had to sit Jrue Holiday down, and that is when things got nasty for the Bucks. They, you know, they just were not doing well. They were really hurting. They didn't have the scoring. Like I said, no one was hitting shots. They were really missing Jrue Holiday's defense. So yeah, it just looked like it was not going to be the Bucks' day. But, you know, they changed it around in the second quarter. I mean, after the first quarter, the Suns, like I said, led 37-21. The Suns shot 74% from the field in the first quarter. I mean, that right there just tells you how bad it was. And then with Jrue Holiday out, they had Jeff Teague come in, and he did not look well. I mean, first off, Brook Lopez started the game horrible. He took bad shots. He had a couple turnovers. He was missing rebounds. It was a mess. Jrue Holiday in foul trouble. Giannis wasn't being aggressive. You know, it was just bad. Bad, bad, bad. But the second quarter, like I said, they turned it around. The Bucks started the second quarter with a 16-5 scoring run. And then by the end, well, not by the end of the quarter, but at one point in the second quarter, after being down 37-21, the game was tied 42-42. So the Bucks had gone on a 21-5 scoring run. And in my opinion, that scoring run was ignited, one, because Jrue Holiday, you know, Mike Budenholzer decided, you know what, I cannot do this. I cannot have Jrue Holiday sit out. So he actually brought Jrue Holiday back into the game with about 2 minutes left in the first. That really didn't show much of a difference, as I said, because the quarter ended 37-21. But into the second quarter, there was more of a flow. Jrue Holiday helped the defense. But more importantly, the energy brought on off the bench by Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. In my opinion, if they weren't in this game, if they didn't perform the way they did, this would have been the Suns game. It was really Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis who were able to ignite this 21-5 scoring run for the Bucks. I mean, Bobby Portis with his energy, his rebounding, he was making shots from three. He was attacking the basket, getting hustle plays. You know, getting the 50-50 balls, and then Pat Connaughton doing the same thing. Shout out to Pat Connaughton. He has been great on the boards, particularly the offensive rebounds. He has been outstanding. You know, he's always in the mix right there. As soon as anyone shoots, doesn't matter who it is, Pat Connaughton somehow finds himself under the basket. And if he himself doesn't get an offensive rebound, he tries his hardest to influence the ball by trying to tip the ball out so that someone else can get the offensive rebound. I mean, he just brings so much hustle. And I really, really love watching Pat Connaughton play just because of that. He really plays with such heart. And it was evident in Game 5. I mean, like I said, if it wasn't for him and Bobby Portis, in my opinion, this scoring run would have never happened. They never would have tied the game. And they just never would have turned things around. And I think that the Suns would have won comfortably if it wasn't for the energy that Connaughton and Portis brought on in that second quarter. Also, in the second quarter, Jrue Holiday was really, really aggressive. You know, he was playing really well in that second quarter. You know, the Bucks led 64-61 at halftime. So after scoring, after scoring 21 points in the first quarter, they ended the half with 64 points. And not only were they able to, you know, tie the game, they were up. They were up after the first, after being down. So that just shows the resiliency that the Bucks have. The aggressiveness, the heart. They were not willing to give up on this game so easily. A lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys on teams would see this, the way they started this game. They would see that they were down by 16 points, and they just wouldn't, you know, a lot of guys would kind of give up. They'd say, well, you know, we're playing on the road. We are in Phoenix. It's expected for them to win. So, you know, they did their job. You know, now it's going to be our turn in game six to tie the game. And then the game is going to be decided in game seven. That's what a lot of guys would have done, but not the Bucks. They are resilient. They are aggressive. They did not take their foot off the pedal at all. They were just on a mission. And man, did they complete it. Also for the Suns, like I said, Devin Booker, he carried over his scoring from Game 4 into Game 5. He ended the first half with 15 points. And Drew Holiday ended with 18 points in the first half. Giannis, he had incredible passing in that first half. You know, it was just really great to see. Something also the Suns... Devin Booker was scoring a lot, but something that I noticed, he was doing a lot of ISO ball. You know, Chris Paul would kind of hold on to the ball for about 10 seconds or so, bring it up the court. You know, he'd kind of do his thing, but, you know, about 10 seconds in, he would pass it to Booker, and then Booker would kind of go into ISO ball. You know, he would kind of dance with his defender at the top of the key, or, you know, he'd, you know, try and, you know, just dribble the ball, get it to the basket. So it was a lot of ISO ball. So, you know, that's in an NBA finals game, you don't want to see that. And, you know, the Suns, they have good passing, they have good ball movement. So, you know, even though Devin Booker's in a rhythm there, you still want to have that ball movement. You want to keep these guys, you know, engaged on offense. You want to get guys, their baskets so that they can be confident heading later into the game. That way they still have their confidence up. They know that they've hit shots. That way, if they need to late in the game, that way, you know, they feel confident in their shot. They're not scared to take those shots in the big moment because this is the NBA Finals. So, you know, they need to scurry away from that ISO ball and they need to keep that ball movement going throughout the game. But Holiday and Chris Middleton were aggressive in that second half. They were amazing. Connaughton just continued knocking down three-pointers. Like I said, he was 4-for-6. And also, like I've said in previous episodes, Pat Connaughton not only hits those threes, but his timing in hitting those threes always seems to really benefit the Bucks. He kind of hits those threes at the perfect time, which can either, you know, stop a scoring drought for the Bucks, or it can stop the momentum that's kind of shifting towards the Suns. Whenever it feels like that momentum is going towards the Suns, Pat Connaughton hits a three, and then that just stops their flow. So Pat Connaughton is really good at his timing with his shots as well. The Bucks' big three all had 20-plus points with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. I mean, their distribution of shots was really great throughout. I mean, they were just incredible. Just incredible. Like I said, this was the Milwaukee Bucks big three game. It was just so great to watch. Holiday also with his scoring and his playmaking. Like I said, he ended with 13 assists. This is arguably his best game as a Buck. I mean, I would say so. He's had better scoring games, of course, but all around game, his scoring, his playmaking, his hustle, his defense, this was his best game by far. And yeah, like I said, the ball movement by the Bucks was great. Obviously, as you can see, the shot distribution that I'm going to bring up here. I mean, it was just really fun to watch this Bucks team. Also, Devin Booker had most of the scoring for the Suns in the third quarter. But even still, the Bucks kept doing their thing. They, you know, they did not shy away from what they were doing. They were up after going up in the half, 64-61. You know, they looked like they were in control of this game. You know, they were up most of the game. So yeah, in Middleton, man, Chris Middleton took over in the fourth quarter again for the Bucks. This guy is so underrated. You know, people just call him, you know, yeah, he's good, but you know, it's Chris Middleton. He's an all-star. Yeah. But you know, he's not a superstar, and I'm not going to go as far as to say that, that Chris Middleton is a superstar, but he's a notch right below that, because you know, not only can he do what other stars can do, you know, he does it when it counts. So, and man, is he clutch. But yeah, great hustle by the Bucks. Second chance points off rebounds were big. Like I said, Pat Connaughton was a big guy in that department. Obviously, Giannis was great. Jrue Holiday would run in there and get some key rebounds. Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez. So it was just an all-around team performance. It was just a really great thing to see. If you're a basketball fan, watching the Bucks was really fun in Game 5. Giannis also, he came out much more aggressive in the fourth quarter. That's something that I've really liked. Seeing from Giannis, he's really kind of figured out, he's really figured out how to hold himself off from being too aggressive early on in the game, kind of holding onto that energy and then just exploding in the fourth quarter. That's when he's really, shown his aggressiveness, his attacking. He has just been absolutely fantastic. And Game 5, he did that in the fourth quarter again. So, yeah, and then towards the end of the game, Giannis, it was 1:09 left in the game. The score was 120-117. Giannis misses two free throws. Chris Paul then scores a jumper, and the score is 120-119 with 50 seconds left. Jrue Holiday then steals 120-119. Then the Suns come up. Devin Booker has the ball. He's kind of right around the free throw line. He's got Chris Middleton and Giannis kind of double teaming him there. So he kind of turns around, he pivots around, and then right there, Jrue Holiday meets him, and he snatches the ball right out of Booker's hands, which then Jrue Holiday starts running in transition, and he just throws a lob up there for Giannis to grab, and Giannis had an emphatic dunk. It was just so great to watch. It was so fun. So it was 122-119 at that point. Then Giannis had an and-one opportunity, so he could have put his team up 123-119. He misses. Then the Suns come back. They have a chance. They do not score. Then the Bucks have another chance. They make a free throw by Chris Middleton. He did miss one, but he made another, putting them up 123-119, and that was the ball game. It was incredible. It was so fun to watch, but at the end of the game, it was Jrue Holiday with that amazing steal. I mean, like I said, he just snatched it out of Devin Booker's hands, which led to that fast break, and then just throwing up that lob to Giannis, and Giannis with that crazy, really aggressive dunk to close out that game. It was so fun to watch. The Bucks were so clutch with their defense. It was amazing. Just amazing. Okay, so the Bucks win 123-119. The Bucks key in the second and third quarter, after scoring those 21 points in the first quarter, being down 37-21, they scored 43 points in the second quarter and 36 in the third. So that's how much they changed everything around. They got really aggressive and they were on a mission, and man, did they complete it. The Bucks are now the first team to win on the road this series. The Bucks are now one game away from winning the NBA championship. I mean, it is so crazy, such a crazy journey for these Bucks, but they are one win away. The Suns now, they still have a chance to push for a game 7, and they can potentially be the NBA champions as well. So just because they're one win away doesn't mean that they're going to win it. So they need to stay aggressive. Excuse me. So yeah, Jrue Holiday ended with 27 points, 13 assists, and the game winning steal. Another amazing thing, the Big Bucks 3, they combined for 88 points, 20 rebounds, 24 assists. Also, look at the shot distribution between the Bucks' big three. Giannis had 23 shots, Middleton 23 shots, and Holiday 20 shots. So that is just fantastic. In five games this NBA Finals, there have been 5 40-point games by players. That is between Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Devin Booker. Giannis had 2 40-point games. Devin Booker has had 2, and Chris Middleton had 1. Also, Devin Booker, with his 40 points, he is the first player in NBA history to have 40-plus points in back-to-back finals games and to lose those games. So, unfortunately, he got those points, but he didn't get the most important thing, which is the W. The Bucks hand the Suns their first loss after leading by double digits this playoffs. So I had said earlier in probably about 2-3 episodes ago, I said the Suns had won every game in the playoffs. At any point in any game, if the Suns had gone up by 10 points, it didn't matter if they were up by 10 points in the first quarter, if they were up by 10 points in the second, third, fourth, doesn't matter. If they were up by 10 points at any point in any game in these playoffs, they won those games. They were 10-0. And tonight was their first loss doing that. So yeah, the Bucks hand the Suns the first loss after leading by double digits. The Suns were 13-0 in such games before tonight. So not 10-0, 13-0, excuse me. So, you know, the Suns, you know, they've been resilient as well. You know, they have been commanding. If they put themselves up by 10 points at any point, they said, no, we're not going to give up this lead at all. We're going to get this W, and they did. So, you know, the Bucks crashed through that barrier, and they did it well. Also, shout out to Coach Bud. He had a whole lot of scrutiny, you know, a lot of criticism that he wasn't a good coach, especially by me. I will admit that I was very, very mean. I was very mean to Coach Bud. You know, I really criticized his adjustments. I called him a bad coach, but I don't know if he drank Michael Jordan's secret juice from Space Jam or what, but, you know, he has turned it around these NBA Finals. He has been a great coach, great adjustments that he's made. He's made smart decisions with his lineups, with his timing, with his substitutions, with his timeouts. He has been great. So to Coach Bud, I apologize to you, but I'm glad that you did get that criticism, because hopefully that's one of the reasons why you changed your mind and made these decisions. So, but it's great to see. I'm glad to see that Coach Bud is coaching at his full potential when it matters in the NBA Finals. He's stepping up along with his players, who have obviously stepped up in this series. So it's great to see the coach do that as well. The Suns are the first team in NBA history to lose a playoff game shooting 55% from the field and 60% from three. That is amazing. The Suns shot 55% from the field and 60% from three and still lost. I mean, that is just crazy. That's a mind-blowing stat. When I saw that, I just couldn't believe it. I had to go back and I literally checked on the ESPN app and I checked on the NBA app. And I had to see, no, this can't be right. They did not shoot that well. And yep, they sure did. So pretty amazing for a team to shoot that well and still lose the game. So hats off to the Bucks for that. Drew Holiday in the last three games, he has been so good. In the last three games, he has averaged 20.3 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 9.7 assists, and 2.3 steals. And that's on 44% shooting from the field, 38% shooting from three, and 100% shooting from the field. So he has been flawless from the free throw line. So he has really stepped up in these last three games. In these last three games, they've gotten the wins. So obviously, Drew Holiday makes a difference when he plays well. So the Bucks are really hoping, I'm sure, for Drew to step it up again in game six. No player has ever averaged at least 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists on 60% shooting in a final series until Giannis Antetokounmpo. In this series, he is averaging 32.3 points, 13 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1.4 steals, 1.2 blocks on 61.2% shooting from the field. So he has been just lights out. He has been so, so good. Also, the Bucks three in the last three games, all of these have been wins in these last three games. Giannis is averaging 33 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists on 60% shooting. Chris Middleton is averaging 29 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists on 47% shooting from the field, 39% shooting from three, and 86% shooting from the free throw line. And then Drew Holiday in those games, averaging 20 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, 44% shooting from the field, 39% shooting from three, and like I said, 100% shooting from the free throw line. So the Bucks big three have really, really, really stepped it up in these last three wins. And, you know, they have just been incredible. And Drew Holiday definitely showing everyone that he is worth all those draft picks that the Bucks traded away. Okay, so now I'm going to talk a little bit more, but first let's hear these messages from our sponsor. Okay, so we are back. So now I want to switch a little bit over to the Suns. So the Suns, one thing I noticed, why did Cam Johnson not play more minutes? He scored 27 points in the last game. And not only that, he has been really shooting well all series long, all playoffs long, but really here in the finals, he's really stepped up for the Suns. He's shooting 53% from the field. He's only averaging about 9 points, but really that's more because he's not playing more. But like I said, he's shooting 53.3% from the field. He's shooting 47.4% from beyond the arc. So if I was Monty Williams, I'd definitely have to play him more. Game six might be their last chance. This is really do or die for the Suns this next game, or else their season is over, or else the whole season is over and the Bucks win the championship. So if I was Monty Williams, I would try and play Cam Johnson a little bit more. He has been really consistent. Doesn't matter if they play at home, if they play on the road. He has consistently shot well here in this series especially. So yeah, if I was Monty Williams, I would play Cam Johnson more. Also, the Suns only committed 8 turnovers here in Game 5 after the 17 turnovers in Game 4. So that was really good, but, they didn't capitalize on that. And also, again, giving up those offensive rebounds. I mean, they gave up two offensive rebounds off of a missed free throw for the Bucks. So the Bucks were shooting free throws. They missed their last one, and somehow they were able to get their own rebound, and that gave them second chance points. So that's something that's really hurting the Suns as well. All these second chance points that they are giving up, and that is something that really, that's something that I stated was really going to hurt them when Dario Saric went out. You know, like I've stated in the last two episodes, the Suns just don't have the size to go up against the Bucks. This is just not a favorable matchup for them when it comes to size. So along with that, they're just giving a lot of second chance points with those rebounds. So that's something that they really have to find a way to stop. So the Bucks trailed by 16 points after the first quarter and won. This is the second largest comeback at the end of a first quarter in NBA Finals history. The last time was on June 12, 2008, when Boston trailed by 21 points at the end of the first quarter, and they eventually won against the Lakers. Milwaukee is also the first team to go down 0-2. And then win their next three games in an NBA Finals since the Miami Heat did in 2006. Another thing for the Suns, they really need to find a way to get their point guards going. Chris Paul and Cam Payne, you know, Chris Paul statistically did not play badly. He played pretty well statistically. I mean, he ended with 21 points and 11 assists on 9 of 15 shooting. 3 of 3 from the three-point line. But I don't know, something feels off. You know, he just doesn't look himself. And it was revealed to us a couple games ago that he is playing, I believe it was said that he had some torn ligaments in his hand. So obviously that might be something that's hurting him, but Chris Paul is clearly not 100%. And also campaign, he was stellar against the Clippers, but here in the finals, he has just not played that same way. So they really need to find a way for him to find a spark, because they really need their two-point guards to step it up, or else they're just not going to get it done. So I think that those are the biggest keys. If I was the Suns, the biggest keys are getting their two-point guards in Chris Paul and Cam Payne. They need to get those two guys going. And also, they need to play Cam Johnson more. They need to get him more shots. The Suns are also 10-0 when Mikal Bridges shoots more than 10 field goals. Tonight, he only shot 6. And in these last couple losses against the Bucks, he has not shot 10 field goals. So they need to get they just need to get their role players going. They need to stop trying to rely so much on Devin Booker, because Devin Booker also needs rest. You know, and whenever he rests, they lose shooting, they lose scoring. And that's when the Bucks can either make a comeback if they're down, or that's when they can, you know, build the lead. So they really need to find a way to get their role players going, which is going to be a tough task because their next game is in Milwaukee. But they need to find a way to do it. Giannis, he left the post-game interview in discomfort also. I was watching the post-game interview. He was in discomfort. And it was said that Giannis is actually experiencing intense cramping. But he is getting treatment, and he is planning to 100% play in Game 6. You know, there is nothing that's going to stop him from playing Game 6. So that is something just to keep an eye out, because maybe that's why he hasn't been as aggressive here in these last two games. But yeah, just a little something to keep an eye out, I thought. You know, I stated before, Booker needs to stop playing so much iso ball. The Suns need to start involving their role players. Now, here's an interesting thing as well. The comparison for the Suns versus the Bucks here, the field goal percentage here in Game 5, the Bucks shot 57.5% from the field. 57.5. That is unreal. Shooting 57.5% from the field in a game, an NBA Finals game, that's just unacceptable. They need to find a way to stop them from shooting so damn well, 57.5%. Although the Bucks shouldn't get as much credit either, because they let the Suns shoot 55.2%. I mean, these are unreal shooting numbers, especially in a Finals game. You know, the Bucks, they shot 14 of 28 from three, which is 50%. The Suns actually shot 13 of 19 from three. That's 68%. So both of these teams shot over 50% from three. And the Suns blew the Bucks out of the water when it comes to shooting threes, but they just didn't get the win. I mean, this is incredible. And also free throws, the Bucks shot 9 of 17. The Suns only shot 10 of 11. But still, the Bucks shot 52.9% from the free throw line when the Suns shot 90.9%. So if you're looking at these stats, the Suns, you know, the Suns are winning in all these stats, but somehow the Bucks are getting these wins. I mean, it's incredible. Also, Monty Williams, he sat Devin Booker for about six straight minutes in the second quarter. That's when the Bucks went on a 26-12 run during that time. That's how they came back into the game. That's what I'm talking about. The Suns need to find a way to get their role players involved so that they can, so that whenever they sit a guy like Devin Booker, who is obviously doing the bulk of their scoring, you know, that way whenever he's sitting down to get a little bit of rest, you know, the Suns can still stay in the game. They can still be competitive. You know, that way the Suns can still make shots. But they need to get their role players involved, because if not, they're only going to, you know, be counting on Devin Booker. And Devin Booker, as much as he wants to stay in the whole game, I'm sure he still needs a little bit of rest. So, you know, it's just something that they got to do. Also, Monty Williams, he has a conundrum because he cannot sit DeAndre Ayton, just because, you know, he's their only size. So Monty Williams, he just cannot sit Ayton whenever Giannis is still on the floor. He just can't do that. If he wants to sit Ayton, he needs to do it when Giannis is sitting on the bench. He can only rest Ayton when Giannis is being rested, because they cannot afford to have Giannis in there, and Ayton, their only size, their only rim protection, they cannot afford that rim protection to not be on the floor when Giannis is. Also, players that have blown 4-2-0 series leads in NBA history. The only guy to do that four times is Chris Paul. Will he do it a fifth? Which he did. I mean, with this is his four. But will he lose? Will he lose the series? So that's something that we have to see there. Also, before Game 5, the Suns had won 12 straight games decided by 5 points or less, which is pretty incredible considering how young this Suns team is, how inexperienced they are in the playoffs. But somehow they've been able to stay focused and win those close games. You know, the Bucks ended the game with Giannis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Pat Connaughton, and a variance between PJ Tucker and Brooke Lopez. So, like I stated, Mike Budenholzer, he's doing a good job with his rotations. You know, the even shot distribution between the Bucks three, like I stated, has been incredible. Connaughton has been great off the bench with his clutch rebounds and his three-point shots. He was plus 10 off the bench tonight. Also, like I stated, this has been incredible shooting by both teams. Both teams in Game 5 combined for 27 of 47 shooting from three. I mean, this is just unheard of. These numbers are unheard of. It's ridiculous. The Suns are minus 21 with Chris Paul on the floor, but Devin Booker off the floor. So, and also the Suns are minus 39 all series with Booker on the bench. So clearly they are not doing well when Booker is not playing, and which is just further, you know, this just goes to prove my point even more. They need to get the other guys involved. They cannot just rely on Devin Booker. They need other guys to step up. And like I said, Cam Johnson has been doing that, but he's just not getting as much minutes as he should. You know, also the Suns players, here are the numbers for the Suns players as primary defenders. So this is going to show you who is defending better. And there is a clear answer, and everyone else is just nowhere close. So Mikal Bridges, when he's the primary defender, the Bucks are shooting 4 of 14 from the field. That's pretty darn good. Jay Crowder, with Jay Crowder as the primary defender, the Bucks are shooting 10 of 12 from the field. With Chris Paul as the primary defender, the Bucks are shooting 9 of 12 from the field. With Booker as the primary defender, the Bucks are shooting 6 of 10 from the field. And with DeAndre Ayton as the primary defender, the Bucks are shooting 15 to 24. Now, the DeAndre Ayton number, that's a little misleading because he mostly defends Giannis. So those are pretty much Giannis numbers that were that I'm stating here for Ayton. But everyone else, I mean, Mikal Bridges is blowing everyone else out of the water when it comes to defending. Like I said, the Bucks are only shooting 4 of 14 in this game with Bridges. Everyone else, I mean, the best defender after Bridges is Devin Booker. And he is not known for his defense. He's actually known to be, you know, a pretty, you know, kind of a liability on defense. And he's their second best defender. So they need to do something about that. Also, 13 straight games, Giannis has shot 50% from the field or higher. He's the second guy to do this. Shaq is the only other guy to do this since 1955. So Giannis is literally writing history. Drew Holiday was responsible for 58 points in Game 5. And also, Drew Holiday has been incredible on defense. Devin Booker, who is clearly the shot maker, the scorer for the Suns, Devin Booker shot only 1 of 5 from the field when guarded by Drew Holiday in Game 5. Drew Holiday has been incredible. Not only is he scoring, not only is he playmaking with his 13 assists, but his defense has been just spectacular. Unreal. Chris Middleton, as I've stated, I mean, pretty much all series, he has been so clutch. Chris Middleton has had 15 clutch game-winning or tying shots in the playoffs. 15. The only other guy to do that in recent memory is LeBron James. So LeBron James and Chris Middleton, that is incredible. I mean, Chris Middleton has been unreal. Unreal here late in games. I mean, he has just been fantastic. I mean, he's almost writing himself as a superstar with this type of shooting. I mean, if you were a casual fan and you just watched these games and you saw Chris Middleton, you're like, man, this guy is incredible. This guy has got to be one of the best guys in the league. And number-wise, he is. But, I mean, he's just not seen as a superstar. But, I mean, who knows? If they win the championship, he might just be. Like I stated, the Bucks' big three have been incredible. Giannis, Chris, and Drew are the first trio to score 25-plus points on 50% shooting since Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and James Worthy on the Lakers. So, You know, these Bucks are making history. Just absolutely outstanding. Okay, so game six will be in Milwaukee. That is going to be on Tuesday. It's potentially the last game of the season. So the next time we talk, the Milwaukee Bucks might be NBA championship winners. Giannis might be a champion. Chris Middleton might be a champion. Drew Holiday might be a champion. That is a possibility, guys. Next time we talk, they might be champions. Or the Suns stepped up somehow. They got everyone involved. They had everyone step up at the right time. And they're forcing a game seven, which I believe it would be Friday. And that would obviously be in Phoenix. So it's going to be really fun to see. Game six is, I have a feeling it's going to be a historic game. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great to see the Suns fighting for their lives. It's going to be awesome to see Giannis playing with his heart out. Chris Middleton playing his heart out. Drew Holiday playing his heart out. You know, will we have an NBA champion next time we talk? Or will there be a game seven? All right, guys. So that's all I got for you guys tonight. You know, so next time we talk will be Wednesday. Like I said, game six will be Tuesday. So I will be posting on Wednesday night. So, I mean, I'm excited. I am super, super excited. To see what happens next game. The basketball fan in me wants the Suns to win because I want there to be an epic game seven. But, you know, as a Giannis fan, I'd love to see him win the championship on Tuesday. I mean, this guy is such an incredible story, going from begging on the streets of Greece, having one pair of shoes that he had to share with his brother if they wanted to play basketball. Going from that to coming over to the U.S., going to the NBA, becoming an two-time MVP, signing a $200 million contract, and now the next step, the NBA championship. Man. What a story. What a story. All right, guys. So, again, that's all I got for you. So, I will speak to you guys on Wednesday. If you guys have any questions, please hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is @TheBigShotPod. Again, our handle on Twitter is @TheBigShotPod. If you guys have any questions, concerns, any topics, anything that you guys want us to cover, please hit us up, send us a message, mention us, whatever you got to do to get us to get our attention, please do, and we will address whatever it is that you guys want on here on the podcast. Okay, guys, so that's pretty much all I got for you. Thank you. And also, you know what, let's give a big round of applause for Coach Bud, for Giannis Antetokounmpo, for Drew Holiday, for Chris Middleton, and all the Milwaukee Bucks, including their fans who have been absolutely just through the roof whenever the Bucks play at home, and also the city of Milwaukee. Yeah. Milwaukee, they deserve such a great round of applause. Oh. All right, that's enough. Oh, yeah, so Milwaukee, they deserve so much praise, not just the team, obviously, the whole organization, the city, the fans. They have been outstanding. The Phoenix Suns fans and city do as well. But right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are one game away So I'm so excited to see what happens on games after game six. Will there be a game seven or will there be an NBA champion? Okay, guys. But anyways, as always, I am your host, Shaba Baja. Once again, please hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions, topics, concerns. Our at on Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. And again, guys, thank you so much for listening. It's always, as always, it has been a pleasure. It has been so much fun for me to do this. So yeah, we will talk again on Wednesday. Thank you so much again, guys. We will talk on Wednesday night. Thank you again for listening to the Big Shot Pod. I am Chaba Baja, your host, and you guys have a great night. You know, man.